Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
I'm Greg Meyer, pastor of this crew, and I just want to, you know, jump in with Heidi about Hurricane Harvey. I know Paul's got a brother who lives in Houston. I've got a sister and a nephew and families that live in Houston. I think our families are all fortunate. Their houses weren't flooded, but I have some other friends and that have lost their houses. And there's probably, other than contributions right now, my guess is that there's going to be other ways for us to serve and help with the recovery of a whole region, not just Houston, but that whole region in the future. So we'll kind of see what that is. But these huge disasters like this are kind of numbing to us. I think it's hard to do more than to say, oh, there's another picture of a flooded block, you know. And anyway, so we'll do that as a journey. I also want to join in on welcoming Paul. Good to have you with us, and we're going to have a lot of fun this year. So we're learning a lot from each other and be a part of that community. I think you all know already that, we don't have a lot of money to throw out bringing another staff person on board, as all of you know. But the larger church thinks it's really, really important that some of the interns, some of the seminary students get training from a church like Jacob's Well, a non-established church. So actually, the bill for him to be salaried and on our staff this year is all paid by the seminary and by other churches that said, we want an intern there to have that kind of experience. So that's a fantastic thing. We're really glad to do that. And ask Paul to tell you some other things that aren't true about himself. And yeah, good. You're going to find on the back of your Sunday paper, which I don't even have a copy of, but there's an outline on the back. You're welcome to follow that along. You can ignore it if you want. Doesn't matter. I just think it's awful helpful to you. You hear something, and then you see it on the screen. You write it down, and it sticks with you a little bit better. But the real reason why we have that is if you've got that pen in your hand and you're doing that, then you're going to write some of your own ideas and thoughts down on the back of there. And that's the stuff that's going to be really valuable to you. So go for that as you wish to. Anyway, well, you know, what a great summer. I have just loved this, and I guess I have to let go of it. It's September, Labor Day. Happy Labor Day, all of us. You know, we've kind of moved on. But what a great summer, and what a great place to experience summer. I've just enjoyed it so much, and now with Labor Day, you know, the room is so empty because so many people are at a lake cabin, or they're camping, or, you know, doing other sorts of stuff. We've got the state fair going on, all these things. You know, and that's what Minnesota is these kinds of things. So, you know, New York has tall buildings. Chicago's got wind. Phoenix has desert. L.A. has traffic. We've got water. The neat thing, what that points at is that, like, every city, every place has its own particular thing. We don't try to level them a lot and have all cities have all the same things. But every city has its own little peculiarity, its own one little thing. And our early forefathers and foremothers of our area realized that this water aspect of Minneapolis and Minnesota was going to be so important that they really raised it up and preserved it and had it be a major feature and attraction of what we are. And I think that's where we want to go today. We want to talk about being lopsided. We want to talk about that particular and peculiar characteristic that is true about you that makes you distinctive from other people, not just another representative, not just another version of what everyone else is. Because I really think that is the way to go with this. We're talking well-lopsided. And yes, well-lopsided is a term, okay? If it wasn't before, it is as of now. So that's good to know. Anyway, lopsided isn't always understood as a great characteristic. I know on my bike, I prefer when my tires are not lopsided. I mean, that's not real fun. And it does look a little funny in some place. Lopsided isn't maybe always good. But I really do think if you want to anthropomorphize God, I think it's one of the things where God just continually slaps the celestial forehead and says, geez, when are they going to get this right? And stop trying to level everything out and let things be a little lopsided the way I made it, you know? And that's where we need to go. Actually, I kind of got onto this lopsided kick, well, it was about 10 years ago doing a college tour with one of my daughters. We were at Dartmouth College, and you know the college tour thing where the college co-ed is, you know, walking backwards down the sidewalk? They know where the cracks are so they don't trip. and all the prospective students are falling behind, you know, hanging on every word, and then all the parents are in a group behind, trying to not be snarky. And so we're getting the typical tour of Dartmouth that you hear from everybody. But then she said one thing that I remember. In fact, it's the only thing I remember from Ole College tours that year. And she said, a lot of you, as you're filling out your applications, you're probably trying to sound like a well-rounded student. Well, don't do that, because we don't want them. And like kind of got my attention. She said, what we're really looking for is the people who know how to do a lot of things, experience a lot of things, but they're really passionate about something. There's something that they're really good at. They really want to know. They really want to do. And that kind of drives everything. And they stand out for that one thing. We don't want well-balanced students. We want well-lopsided students. I thought, wow, I think she's right. I mean, I think that's more than just applications for Dartmouth College. I think that's what life is all about. We, in our society, have this love affair with balance. But what we really want, what we really need, is lopsidedness. Let me get into it a little bit. I did a search on Amazon under book titles for balance. I got 42,000 matches for balance. Let me share a few of my favorites. Actually, these are all from the front page, the first page. Balance, Angie's Extreme Stress Menders, Volume 1. Balance, In Search of the Lost Sense. Balance, The Economics of Great Powers from Ancient Rome to Modern America. I bought that in one click, just like right away. That sounds so good. Balance, The Divine Book, Volume 1. On Balance, Living in Balance, In Search of Balance, my favorite. Balance Your Hormones, Balance Your Life. And 41,992 more, okay? I did a search on lopsided under books. I got 118 matches. Most of them had to do with breast cancer surgery. Not sure what that's all about. You'd like balance, I bet. At least you think you would. I mean, it's got this huge allure. It's full of promises for us of what it can do for our lives. A life where everything rests in this peaceful equilibrium. No surprises, no new conditions. No additions, there's no changes to the situations. You've got everything worked out, and it just keeps on working for you because you've achieved balance. You know, that's life with the perfect blend of fun, work, rest, exercise, personal, family, professional time, seriousness, frivolity, generosity, frugality, saving, spending, controlling, spontaneity, as well as honoring tradition and routine, risk-taking, controlling, going with the flow. You balance all that out, and you've got it made. I don't know about you, but when I hear that list, I just get plain tired. Like, really? That's what I'm supposed to do, and I'm somehow supposed to be able to do it? It looks impossible. So I'll be honest, I'm really skeptical about this whole balance thing. And then, being the kind of guy I am, I think about this balancing. I think about Jesus, all right? So just take Jesus. If he is supposed to be kind of like the perfect example of what it means to be a human being, and if balance is what human life is really supposed to be all about, he must be the perfect picture of balance. I don't know how much you know about the story of Jesus from the Bible, but if your head is going through pretty quickly, you're going through, this does not match. You know? So I look at one passage, one story from Jesus from the end of Luke chapter 9. It's on your Sunday paper. It'll pop up here on screen in a minute too. But so at this point, Jesus is traveling from town to town with nothing but what he can carry. He's rootless. He's getting in trouble. He's finding followers. He's moving on and on and on. He's not holding down a job, let alone a stable one. He's unmarried, we assume. He's hanging out with a bunch of loser guys. And then he says something like this. As they were going along the road, Jesus and his followers, someone says to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Hey, well, that sounds good. And Jesus says to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Okay. To another, Jesus says, follow me. But the man says, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus says to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another says, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those in my home. And Jesus says to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Come on, Jesus, lighten up a little bit. I mean, really? Seriously, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to sleep. Let the dead bury their own dead. Saying goodbye to your family is like one more drink before you get on the wagon. I mean, really? Is that what it's all about? This does not sound like a good work-life balance if you're going to be following Jesus, to me. But what I really see in that isn't Jesus throwing a bunch of extreme, arbitrary, impossible commands on people, but he's really waking them up in his typical hyperbolic way of saying that life is going to be lopsided. So maybe balance as a secret to life is actually a myth. In fact, I would just say it, balance is a myth. And maybe it isn't about balance. Evenly distributing your life among all the essential parts, magically making everything work so that the frictions and problems melt away. Maybe you've tried it. Maybe you are trying it right now. Maybe you have found some success, some places where it helps you a little bit. But I bet you found that it doesn't get you all the way. I bet you found out when you really work on squeezing everything into place in one spot, it all squeezes out, pops out somewhere else, and makes a different lump in your life in another place. Maybe instead of balance, life is about being lopsided. Well, lopsided. Lopsided in just the way that you are peculiarly shaped and the moment demands. In truth, I'm not anti-balance. I mean, I think balance has its place. Keeping all those aspects of life in play is important. Otherwise, we maybe do have a tendency to kind of wobble off course. In fact, I'm pretty sure I've probably preached a message or two advocating balance in my day. But as for the answer of how you put life together, is that the path or not? I really do not believe it is. And that myth of balance, I think we believe it because there are three lies that our society teaches us and we have all bought into. So I want to talk a little bit about these three lies. And they intertwine with each other, to coin a phrase, pretty tightly. So let me just walk you through these. The first lie that makes us believe in balance is this. Balance is achievable. I don't think so. Somehow behind this is a notion that if you divided your life into all those requisite categories that I talked about a little bit before, about work, play, rest, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, if you did that, it would all add up to 100%. 10% of the 10 most important ingredients of life will be success for you. Would I really believe that if you start fitting in all the pieces that you need to have in your life to be well-balanced, it's actually going to add up to about 412%. There is not enough of you to go around and to balance all those important things in your life. There are not enough hours in the day to do it. You're going to have to get lumpy. You got to specialize. You have to make choices. You have to get lopsided. There's a great book in the Bible from long before the time of Jesus. It's part of the wisdom tradition. It's called the Book of Ecclesiastes, and there's a passage in there that the birds turned into a hit and made a lot of money off of, but you'll probably recognize, and it goes like this. It says, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance," and it goes on. Now, all those things may balance out in the long run, but I bet each of those times felt really lumpy. They felt really lopsided. And that's where we live, in those moments, in those experiences. Here's the deal about that. Systems balance themselves out. All right, systems balance themselves out. An ecosystem moves towards equilibrium. Your body tries to establish homeostasis. But while systems balance out, the individuals don't. The components don't balance out. They're all idiosyncratic. They're lumpy. They're lopsided. The individual components don't reflect the overall equilibrium and play out that particular role, like the larger picture is. In terms of ecology, foxes eat rabbits. When there are lots of rabbits, there's able to be a lot of foxes. But when you get a lot of foxes, they eat too many rabbits, and there aren't enough rabbits. And so then the foxes start disappearing, and that allows the rabbits to come back, and the whole thing starts over and over and over again. Hopefully you've got a good, healthy body, 98.6 degrees, and it all works together to be that way. But you are not 100 or 200 or whatever pounds of one thing that makes that work. No, you've got all these things that are totally, they look unrelated to each other. They're doing their own thing. Your liver is doing its own livery thing, your lungs are doing their lungy thing, and your neurons are doing their neurony thing. And somehow, in all of that lumpiness, that lopsidedness, it all adds up into a system that has balance, but the parts are not. The individuals don't. That's the first lie behind the myth, that balance is even achievable. It's not how it works. It's not possible. Here's the second. The second lie is you can balance all the things, all those things that the gurus tell you you're supposed to balance in life, and you can still be your unique self. No, you're just going to become a representative of the average person. I think we are lumpy by design. I think you're good at some things and you're not so good at other things. I think you're passionate about some things and you're unpassionate about some things. I think when certain things happen in life, you have ways of responding to it, and I have ways of responding to it. And they always are not the same, and it's okay. In fact, I think it's really important. The world needs lots of lumps just in the right place at just the right time. That's why it's so great that there are so many lumpy people in our world so that they can be that. Just in the nick of time, Captain Lopsided, comes to the rescue. What you never saw going. While we have this myth of balance, really everything that we understand as people of faith, and I think our experience in the world says the opposite. When we do baptisms here at this well and put water on a child or an adult's head, baptizing them, kind of bring them into this relationship of weaving their life with God and self and others, we at the end of that, we almost always read this one Bible verse. It's a line from Jesus from his Sermon on the Mount, which, by the way, his sermon, it's the only real sermon we have from Jesus, and it's probably the most lopsided sermon I've ever heard. But it goes, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." It is let your light. It isn't like let light shine. It isn't let them see good works. No, let them see your good works, and that gives glory to God. That glory to God thing is like, that is reflecting what God, what the purpose of creation is. When you're that lumpy person, when you're shining your light, when you're doing your works, I mean, that's what helps God relieve that celestial headache from slapping the divine forehead over and over, saying, "Geez, why do they keep trying to level everything out?" Again, a little bit later, Peter, one of the disciples, is writing to these early established congregations, and he says, "Serve one another with the particular gifts that God has given each of you." Particular gifts, not generic, particular gifts, as faithful dispensers of, and I love this, the magnificently varied grace of God. We're all going to experience it differently. We're all going to manifest it differently. We're all going to dispense it differently, and that's the way it works. There isn't one kind of person, the balanced person, and your job is to conform to that prototype. No, you are meant to be peculiar, a little bizarre and strange, a little off balance. We need you lopsided, all right? We need to applaud each other's lopsided. It's interesting, in the whole realm of leadership, leaders are not encouraged to be balanced. They are encouraged to find balance in their systems. I mean, did you know that? The people that really understand leadership, the people that really are great leaders, realize that there is no person who has all the skills that are needed to be a great leader. Now, what we would think is, well, all those areas you don't have, then you better work on them really hard to kind of get them up to snuff. But that's not what great leaders do. Great leaders focus on their strengths, not their weaknesses, because they know no matter how long I work on my weaknesses, I will never turn them into real strengths. I might become more mediocre in them, but that's not good enough. I'm going to do what I can do well, and I'm going to do it really, really well. And what am I going to do about my weaknesses? I'm going to delegate them. I'm going to let someone else who has that as a strength do it. I don't need to pretend to be the one. I just need to let someone else take the lead in the area that I don't have as a strength. Great leaders focus on their strengths, not their weaknesses, and they delegate their weaknesses to other people. Okay, that's line number two. You could be balanced and still be your unique self. No, it's not true. Your unique self is by nature lopsided. So the third lie I want to talk about, and this is the last one, is that being balanced can make you self-sufficient. That you could do life on your own. You wouldn't need all those other people. Which is tempting because they're kind of a problem, aren't they, all those other people? Trying to rely on them and everything. You know, if you really got this balance thing down, you could do it on your own. You wouldn't need them. I think that's one of the things that drives us towards this mirage of balance, is this idea of not having to rely on other people and other things, and that would all be within ourselves, because those things are full of uncertainty, they're full of unreliability, they're messy, and I would love just to create this little bubble, my own little ecosystem I could be inside, where everything works and it all pulls together. But it isn't going to happen. It doesn't work. The truth is, you need other people. You need lots of them. They make life possible. Self-sufficiency itself is a lie. We were not created to be self-sufficient. We were created to be in community. And here's the thing, and this is on your outline. You don't only need other people because you need more people in your life. You need other people because you need different people in your life. It isn't just about how many, it's about what kind. And we need a lot of variety around us. We need those different lopsided people to fill in. And now this might drive you crazy, but you know that person that is so annoying to you all the time? You know those people who have that perspective or those interests or those inclinations that you just cannot stand? Well, there may be absolutely nothing wrong with them. In fact, you might find that time when that interest, when that passion is exactly the thing that everyone is turning to. You might find when their quirky skill, their quirky knowledge is exactly where we have to go to find the answer to something that we're all looking for. The truth is, it may not be that there's anything wrong with them. It just might be that from your perspective, from your quirkiness, from your lopsidedness, you just have a hard time understanding and appreciating what this other person is all about. That is sort of how it works an awful lot of the time. The truth is, they may not be perfect, and when you don't appreciate that person's interest, that person's offsideness, it's easy to point at all the things that are wrong with them. But the truth is, all of us, our lopsidedness of all of us is under construction all the time. That person's lopsidedness is under construction. That's okay. They're human. Yours is too. Just because it's harder for you to appreciate it, to see it in another person, doesn't mean that there's something wrong with the way they're doing it. In fact, I would say our drive to have that balanced person, that drive to have everyone have our kind of lopsidedness, is one of the things that makes other people's lopsidedness unhealthy. We make people hide it. We make people change it. We make people try to be what they aren't. So I can't tell you how to be lopsided. There are two things about lopsidedness that make that impossible. One is, your lopsidedness is your lopsidedness. I don't know it. I don't get it. You're going to have to figure it out. You're going to have to deal with it. Because your lopsidedness does come with repercussions. I'm sorry, but that's true. The other thing is that life itself is lopsided. It doesn't require the same thing from any two people in any two moments of time. We have to encounter our moments and just figure out just how we need to live and who we need to be at that time. Right now, you might be a parent with a bunch of kids. You may be trying to sell your house. You may be trying to get ready to go on vacation. You may be starting a new job. You may be dealing with a health condition. Whatever it is, you need to unbalance. You need to explore that lopsidedness in order to be the person that you need to be in that moment. So there is no formula. There is you and your lumpy, quirky, lopsided self in this quirky, lumpy, lopsided moment that you find yourself, and sitting in the midst of a quirky, lopsided world around us, and each of us is going to have to figure that out and learn to live in that. So give up on the myth, let it go. Sure, keep those basic elements of balance in mind. There's a reason why we are to keep aware of all the different aspects of life. They're all important, but take risks. Burn the candle at both ends when you have to. Make longer candles when you can. Embrace your lopsidedness. Don't apologize for it. Don't try to compensate for it. Use others to balance yourself out. I think there's a reason, and this is on the bottom of your outline, there's a reason why the Bible talks about the kind of life that is really living by saying that this is the peace of God, sort of this sense of well-being when we know we are connected with the world in its true, deep fabric of existence. That kind of peace of God, that kind of well-being passes all understanding. Because few of us can see it coming. We don't know how that all works, but when we encounter it, it begins to make sense and it gives us that feeling in our world. And God is found in it, and God is found through it. And God is at work in you and through your lopsidedness. It's what you bring to the table. It's where God pulls you into the world. And when we begin to do that, we can let go of the unachievable. We can let go of the things that keep us from our true and unique selves. And we can also begin to embrace some of those weird and quirky people that are around us and start living in that rich and that resilient and in that resourceful community that God has put us in. So just as we close up, just be comfortable. Take a breath. Close your eyes if that works for you. And what I haven't given you time for here and would be a great thing to be doing this week is to be thinking about your own lopsidedness. Embrace it. Fall in love with it. Know that it's okay. Know that as each of us weaves our lives deeper with ourselves and with God, with others, into that strong and resilient rope of life, that your lopsidedness, all those things that maybe sometimes feel like friction points or spurs or you're worried about, they are not only okay, they are not only acceptable, they are holy. They are the sacred contributions of your light in this world that needs to shine and be there for all of us. Thank God for your lumpy, quirky, one-of-a-kind self in this lumpy, quirky, one-of-a-kind life. And celebrate those lumpy, quirky, one-of-a-kind people that surround you. Maybe there's one right next to you right now that needs to know that you appreciate them and that you accept them, that you love them, you see them as sacred just for that. And take another breath. And be filled with that.
Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast valuable, please pass it along to others. And we'd love to hear from you too. You can email us at info@jacobs-well.net or message Jacobs Well Minneapolis on Facebook. We see what we do as a community really making a difference for people. Since you're listening, you probably have too. If you'd like to make a donation to support this work, you can find ways at jacobs-well.net/give. Thanks. Listen again next week or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10:30.